You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
It is such a fascinating time in content development, Stugatz. And I know a lot of you who have allegiances to this show are watching what it is that's going on with us. And you've just seen what can happen with a business and to a business when you have a brand and an audience in this content climate, as everything splinters in the way that you get your entertainment and everything changes, and Netflix tries to become television and streaming services take over, and people are desperate for content. And so I was not surprised, but yet still found amazing that Guy Fieri is being signed for 3 years, $80 million, man. And your best athletes don't make that kind of money. Julio Jones, you could get Alvin Kamara for less than that. 5 years of Kamara. You could get 5 years of Dalvin Cook. You could get 4 years of Travis Kelce. You could get 5 years of George Kittle. You could get annually, Brady isn't making, Aaron Donald's not making, Khalil Mack's not making what Guy Fieri is making for cooking because of the power of a brand, and he doesn't have to do all those things to his body. What he's doing to his body is what I do to my body, which is right. Just eating everything.
Well, no, he cooks the things that you eat. He eats some of it as well, but he's a great cook. If cooking was a sport, Dan, I mean, in his line of work, he's as good as at what he does as Julio Jones is at what he does. So, I mean, I don't know why you're objecting to this. I don't know what you're doing with Guy Fieri. He's got a huge fan base, a huge following, and he's a great chef. I mean, I'm telling you.
I mean,
never eaten any of his food.
There are tons of great chefs, arguably better chefs. He's great in marketing. He's a television star.
Name a better chef.
Oh, there it is. You look it up. Don't make him look it up. Like, you just threw
David
that out
Chang.
There with no information. This is your move. You've made. Look, speaking of brand.
Wolfgang Puck.
Speaking of creating value for your brand, that's your move. I know Guy Fieri. I love him as a cook. Never eaten him. Give me a better chef. We're not here for the culinary arts. We're not experts here. I'm talking about brands, and I'm talking about what athletes do for their bodies, to their bodies, and the value of the body. For an athlete making money in sports using things that physically hurt to make money for others, and better to not be a member of a team, better to just have your individual brand, better to cook well so you can make $80 million in 3 years, or if you're us, just get paid to gas bag into a microphone.
Dan, what Guy Fieri does is physical work. Like, he puts all this food into his body. I have my Guy Fieri Flavortown shirt right here, Dan. This is what it's all about. Like, it's hard work. You have to eat all this high cholesterol, high carbohydrate, high sugar processed food. Well, it's not really processed, but you know what I mean. He goes to all these diners, drive-ins, and dives, and he eats all this amazing food. It's taxing on his body. I don't know what his travel schedule like. I don't know what his workout schedule is like, but it's not easy work. It's physical work.
Ah, Triple D. Nothing better. Nothing better than a nice evening when there's like 12 Triple D's back to back to back.
How did that shirt get there? We all saw it. Can you walk us through this? It like flew out of the sky right into your lap. How did that happen?
You guys started talking about Guy Fieri, who is an icon of mine. I love Guy Fieri. And it's Fieri, by the way, not Fieri. It's Fieri.
We've corrected Stugatz on that 40 times, and all he did there was just unspool a bunch of lies and mispronounce his name and then start counting his money again.
Wolfgang Puck.
And my Guy Fieri shirt, which says parental advisory, delicious content, was downstairs. So I texted my boyfriend, who is, I guess, my production assistant also at this point, and I said, toss me my Guy Fieri shirt, even though no one can see the Zoom. I got to show the crew the shirt.
So you believe that what I'm saying, when I give these numbers that were floating around the internet yesterday, that you could get Julio Jones for 3 years for less money than Guy Fieri, that Tom Brady annually, Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald don't make annually what Guy Fieri is about to, that Alvin Kamara for 5 years, Dalvin Cook, George Kittle, Travis Kelce, you don't think that's absurd that Guy Fieri is making more money than these people?
No, I would say that Guy Fieri is better at what he does than what any of those guys are at what they do. Yeah. Guy Fieri is like one of the top restaurateurs in this country. I would imagine Food Network has an investment in his restaurants. And so he's an incredibly popular figure in the food industry, as evidenced by Jessica Smetana's t-shirt that fell out of the sky.
More people care about food than football, Dan. You know that? You aware?
Debatable.
Food. Important.
I would argue he's severely underpaid. He is the star of Food Network, an entire network, an entire ecosystem of now it's on Discovery Plus. They're trying to make more money, and he's a content machine. He has Triple D's, he has Triple G's. He's all over the place. He had the pandemic special with his son Hunter where they brought the Triple D's food and he cooked it in his backyard. Like, he's a content machine, Dan.
We found your wheelhouse.
What are Triple G's?
Oh, come on.
Guys, groceries.
Yeah, there you go, Roy.
Cody, tell me a little more about how you love to just put a hand in your underwear on the couch and roll through a dozen of these Guy Fieri
shows. Oh, my God, Dan.
Shows.
If I look at the guide and I see that there's like seven straight hours of Triple D's, I text my wife, we're not doing anything today. This Saturday, we're gonna watch all the episodes and we're going to get inspired by one of them for a dinner and then we're going to go eat somewhere.
Cody, I will correct you. Triple D's is always on Friday, so it's actually a Friday night marathon show, not a Saturday marathon show. And Friday nights with Guy Fieri are the best nights of the week.
The number of times that Chris Cody during the segment has gone, is like at least a dozen now.
I think if you said to me, you could just be anyone right now. Guy Fieri. I mean, I don't know who's better on that list.
Ironically enough, Ben Roethlisberger is also on a 3-year, $80 million deal right now with the Steelers. Would you guys argue that Ben Roethlisberger brings more to the Steelers than Guy Fieri brings to Food Network? Because I think Guy Fieri is
easily out pulling his weight there. Yeah, you're right.
How in the name of God am I on this lonely island where I'm saying that these physical specimens who collide for a living and are excellent at what they do in a place where it's much more competitive to be that kind of excellent?
Let me explain how, Dan. If you ask someone the best tight end in football, some will say Waller, some will say Kelce, some might say another name. I'm running out of names. Maybe it's going to be Pitts, okay? But if you ask the best chef in America, there is only one answer.
I don't know
one definitive answer.
Gordon Ramsay.
It's the one
Guy Fieri.
It's the one you know, and you don't know anything about what you're talking about, and he's just famous in a name, and you don't know what these shows are. You haven't watched any of the programming.
Have you been to Flavortown, Dan?
Donkey sauce, Dano.
I have not. That's what I call my goatee.
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous, and if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it, because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes that out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
We were at ESPN long enough to see a fairly amazing evolution over the course of this decade that we're talking about in basketball with LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and Derrick Rose and the super team. We saw, while we were at ESPN, First Take, the television show, go from ESPN's most criticized property, ESPN, being criticized for debasing itself by just going to straight argument television and sort of distorting what is news coverage by just having what people perceived as phony arguments and creating the argument culture of guys argue, largely guys, although women more so now, but largely guys argue about sports. And First Take became the model of the debate show for all its evils, but also we watched it go to becoming their signature property, where you've got these reports that Skip Bayless is being offered $8 million a year to join Stephen A. Smith. And so you saw that all of that changed over 10 years, the way that ESPN's now hood ornament show was criticized and was its most criticized show. But Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless learned how to be professional wrestlers, to go from journalists to professional wrestling skills. You just saw Stephen A. Smith in front of, on the televisions in here, rabid Knicks fans just feeding the fan yes. fire of being outside Madison Square Garden and screaming with fans. And what I wanted to ask you, Stephen A. Smith is an accomplished basketball journalist. He puts in the work, but we've talked about journalism today and how it changes and how it evolves. He's also a cartoon character now. He is also performing. He's excellent at the doing of television. What I wanted to ask you is, when his analysis of Heat Bucks is "Be Jimmy Friggin' Butler," you have to, 2 minutes of talk of "Where's Jimmy Butler? Let me see friggin' Jimmy Butler." And then the segment ends with him saying he just wants to get to Miami. He wants to have games in Miami, and that's why he came that strong about you got to be Jimmy Butler in these moments. But what does that even mean against the length of Giannis Antetokounmpo if you're a basketball player who's very good, but can't shoot all that much? And what you were in the playoffs last year might have been something different than this year, because it's a little hard when one of the changes being made is Giannis is going to guard you more.
But we're armed with the results of the Heat beating the Bucks last year and Jimmy Butler doing something we didn't think Jimmy Butler was capable of doing, leading a team to the NBA Finals. And so when he says, "Be Jimmy Butler," you can't be the guy. I understand what you're saying. It's a tough matchup for Jimmy Butler. Anyone that Giannis scores.
Who's a better basketball player?
Giannis. But last year, we were armed with the results of Jimmy Butler beating Giannis and making it to an NBA final.
But you're using wins-loss as the result, and we all know that that was a product. Like, that was not unpredictable. A lot of people thought that was going to happen to Giannis because of the way playoff basketball changes and because of the need to create your own shot, because he wasn't very good from the perimeter.
But we built up Jimmy as winner guy, as clutch guy, as guy that can get you to the NBA Finals. And Jimmy embraced that, by the way. And so when he says, "Hey, just get me there, I'll take care of the rest," and he starts a series through two games, I think he's 11 of 38 or something like that. Yeah, it's bad. It's a bad look
their
for Jimmy. Their
length is going to be a problem for him. Like, maybe he can put up one of those Laker games where he's scoring 40 points and you're like, where the hell did that come from? But I'd be more inclined to see him putting up those 6 for 17 games, because their length is a problem for him.
If you actually go back to last year's matchup with Milwaukee, 3 of the 5 games, he wasn't especially great from a scoring point of view. In a game 2-win, he was 3 of 8. In a game 4 loss, he was 6 of 15. In a game 5 win, he was 4 of 6. He did have a 40 and a 30 point game mixed in there, but Milwaukee does bother him. If you're asking Jimmy friggin' Butler to be Jimmy friggin' Butler, really the issue there is the Miami friggin' Heat need to be the Miami friggin' Heat, because it's the supporting cast around him that has gotten worse, and he very clearly leaned on it in that Bucks series last year.
I do not think what Stephen A. said was that ridiculous. And I would look at the Lakers series personally last year, and you look at that series, all propaganda aside, when Bam and Goran went out and it was just Jimmy, it would not have been surprising to see them get swept. And instead, he put it on his back by himself, largely, you know, playing every minute of the game. And he took two games and would have taken a third if he had another day of rest. And so I don't think what Stephen A. is saying is that crazy. Like, it is on Jimmy in a lot of ways and Bam to just take over. And I would argue that playing against LeBron and AD with no help is a harder task than being guarded by Giannis.
Is it, though? Defensive player of the year, that length, and you can't shoot. You're not shooting threes all season, and now you're asking him to go get his where he eats. And he did it at the end of the game against him and Brooke Lopez, but that's I wouldn't want to play against Giannis if I were him.
No, but I think what Whittingham says there, I mean, I think he's right, right? That's a tough matchup for Jimmy, but the Heat have to act like the Heat. Tyler Herro was great last year. Bam was great last year. Duncan Robinson, for the most part, was great last year.
But
those guys have to be great again if they want to win the
series. But those are all different things, though.
And Goran was great until he got hurt.
Which is it, though? Be Jimmy friggin' Butler? Like, it can't be both of those things, because Jimmy Butler...
But Jimmy Butler is the Heat, Dan, so he's never going to go after the organization. He praises them all the time. Their culture, Riley, Spoelstra. He's going to go after the best guy on the team. The best guy on this team is Jimmy Butler.
That matchup for him, if he can't get that guy in foul trouble, I'd like to see if somebody could get Giannis in some foul trouble. But what you need is him off of the court if you want something better from Jimmy Butler than what I would imagine. Look, it might not be 4 of 20, but I'm not expecting efficient shooting nights from Jimmy Butler against that team. And if they know that, doesn't it become harder to defend, easier to defend everyone else? Like, if you can just throw up your hands and say, well, Giannis isn't going to get in foul trouble and he can bother Jimmy, and that length's a problem because he's got 4 inches and is more athletic than he is.
A lot of these guys on the Heat, though, I mean, we forget that they played in a bubble last year. There were no fans. And so I expect the Heat to be better at home simply because they're at home.
And that's, you know, all well and fine, but I'm asking you guys the legitimate question, because I think something that got ignored when the Heat beat them in 5 last year is, it wasn't because he was Jimmy friggin' Butler. He became that later in the playoffs. This whole thing that we've bought into where he's fed it with the fuel of his words, I'm that guy, it was not in that Bucks series. It was because of that Bucks series that the Heat got propelled into the national conversation. But it's not because Jimmy Butler took out Giannis. Like, he'll lose that matchup one-on-one for the rest of his life. Giannis is young. Giannis is a better player all around, more athletic, taller. Like, if they go one-on-one for the rest of their lives, Jimmy Butler will lose. And so, when you're asking the Heat to be better, when you know the Bucks are better, because now Giannis has his reinforcements, you're asking Jimmy Butler to summon something against Giannis Antetokounmpo that I don't think he can summon.
But to Cortez's point, Dan, it's the last thing we saw. You're right. It wasn't the Bucks. It was the Celtics, then the Lakers. The last thing we saw was him going toe-to-toe with LeBron James and having a 40-point triple-double in the NBA Finals, Dan.
But this is
the NBA Finals.
Stugatz, this is a hard ass. This is not 25 or 26-year-old defensive player of the year. Like, this is not. LeBron was 36 or 35. Like, we're talking about the guy who's the best at defense in the league, the longest guy in the league, one of the most athletic guys in the league. He's many years younger than you, and this season you haven't shot well. What do you like? That's a, you're caught in spider webs. Like, my answer to be Jimmy freaking Butler is not against this guy. He can't. Not if that, unless he gets him into foul trouble, Stugatz, and he has to play a different game. He's playing against somebody who, that talk doesn't matter. He's someone who's better than you are.
I'm certain he wants to be Jimmy Butler, and he can't against this particular guy. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, and you're probably right.
He is bigger, stronger, faster, younger, longer. Yep. And Jimmy Butler is an offensive player that we didn't know until 2 playoff series last year that he could be that offensive player. And when he shoots threes, you guys want him shooting threes? Does anybody in this Zoom want Jimmy Butler shooting threes? Anybody?
No. But when he does, it's really funny. Like, it's really cocky when he does. He jumps so high when he shoots the three, and it's always clanking.
It's good form, though. You're right.
Ryan, am I going to eat these words tonight? Like, is he going to? Are you expecting?
You think the series is over, are you, don't
no,
you?
No, no, no. Wait a minute. No. I just don't think. I think that for Jimmy Butler to win in this series, it's not because of things that he's going to do, going 15 for 25. Like, that's not how I see that playing out if they win. It'll have to be somewhere else, which is why I don't think the analysis, be Jimmy friggin' Butler, is the way that they're going to win.
Well, let's not get one thing twisted. The pressure tonight is on the Bucks as a 2-0 series. Like that is not up for dispute. Like even if the Heat go down 3-0, okay. Like even if the Heat lost the series in five, that's merely the Bucks tying what the Heat did last year. So
big deal. Oh, get out of here.
Just get out of here.
I don't want to talk about
a whole other series.
I don't
want to
talk about who the pressure is on.
The pressure is on the team that can go 3-0 down tonight.
No. You don't know about pressure. The pressure is squarely on the Bucks.
I don't want to analyze pressure, but how can you with a straight face say the pressure is on the Bucks tonight?
It's 100%. And to your point, Ben, look, the big difference last year, Heat, this year Heat, is last year's Heat team was top 10 in offensive net rating the whole year. This team's really been bottom five the whole year. There was a month stretch going into the postseason. They were top five offense. And my friend, Zach Lowe, by the way, I call him my friend because I met him one time in the office. He had a Heat Vice Cup. And I just started saying, my friend, Zach Lowe, he's okay with it. So my friend, Zach Lowe, he was saying that that stretch of a month where they were top five in offense was legit. That's what I believe in. Tonight, the offense comes back. It's top five. They hit their threes. The crowd is on fire. The Heat come back. And even if they lose, pressure's on the block. So it's fine. Win-win. And don't even get me started on Kauaiami Beach because
you're scared, right? You're simply scared. You're scared of all of them.
Did that sound like scared? That sounded like win-win-win-win-win. No pressure. If we lose, we get Kauaiami Beach, and the Heat are going to win tonight by 20. It's a fantastic night, in my opinion. I might do a culture chatter video later.
I was going to say, Cortez, you cannot be dissuaded. Following a 34-point defeat, we need culture chatter again.
Don't do it. Don't
no,
do it, Cortez.
No, I need
Cortez,
the evidence
no.
of it.
Cortez,
we
no.
need it.
Don't dare me. I'll do it.
Don't do it.
You'll do it if we don't dare you.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Mr. Irvin, can you hear us?
No, I can't hear you guys. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I'm just with you guys, man.
Oh, God damn it, Mike.
Michael.
I can hear you guys.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Mike, can you turn on... Jerk. That was a jerk move.
I go.
There he is.
Hey.
What's up, playmaker?
What's up, Mike?
Hey.
That is a messed up joke.
Man. I was just with y'all. Y'all going crazy over there. Oh, you can't hear. Hey, why are you? How can I even respond to some of the stuff if I can't hear you? And you got it. Producers go for that all the time.
He kept saying, can you guys hear me? Can you guys hear me?
No, he was right. He's right about that. You guys.
Dan, what's up, man?
Good to see you, Michael. It's always nice to see you.
Been a minute, man. I don't get to play with you guys much, man, with this Odyssey Radio intercom stuff, man. But I keep watching. I watch as much as I can.
Are you having fun?
What do you mean, am I having fun?
Are you enjoying it, the work?
The radio, I know you have fun at life, but I just meant the specifics of the work. Were you enjoying the work?
I enjoy all the work. Yeah, I still have fun. Still has some significance there. You know what I'm saying? It's interesting to watch, though, Dan. Even watching now, watching how, you know, you just see there's a difference in things. You know, we got some more gifted, talented people playing the game. But it seemed like less going hard at working at it. Like, you know, the good old fashioned way. Work hard till you fall down, then get back up and work hard again. They're more scientific. They're smarter, I guess you would say.
So you're saying the football is too smart? You sound like an old man, Michael, talking about the days when you knew your workouts were over. You knew your workouts were over when you vomited on your jersey for the second time.
Right.
For the second time.
Right. I am an old man in that sense. But also now, and I don't mind if you don't go there. But I mean, look, man, we everybody come. Nobody wants to practice anymore. It's a virtual practice. This is, you know. So to that place, I'm like, wow, that's pretty amazing. You know what I mean? That's pretty amazing. The difference between the product on the field and what we used to do to get ready for a season and what these guys do to get ready for a season. It allows more room for people to play in the league that loves the lifestyle, but doesn't live the league life. That it's not in their bones. It's not in their blood. So it allows some room for that.
Michael, you left the game because of a spinal cord injury. They have to practice less. There has to be less violence. What you do is crazy for a living. So they have to be more humane because the way that you lived, it was a little bit barbaric.
No, I, you know what? Yeah, that's all I can answer to that. Yes, that is absolutely true. But it does change the fact that I want to see you squeeze. I want to see what comes out of you like I see what comes out of that toothpaste thing every morning when I squeeze it. And the only way I get what's best is in the middle of some squeezing. I can't tell you that you have courage if I don't see you in fearful situations that you have overcome. Now I can label you a man with courage. So don't tell me let's take away all the hard things and then still be able to determine who are the real things, because we can't do it without the hard things. Now, don't make me preach and teach. We're supposed to be talking about sports, and what I gave you is the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Anyway, Dan, you know what he's saying. You can't see the sweat. You can't see the guy's guts. You can't do that on a Zoom call. You know what
Michael,
he's saying, right?
I want all of your preach and teach. We want extra preach and teach around here. Don't hold back on that stuff. But if you're not going to hold back, who are you talking about there? Because Julio Jones, you must look at someone like that and say, good God, the gifts there. The gifts, the guy run bigger than I ever was, faster than I ever was, a physical specimen. Like, who are you talking about that's not interested in the work?
Well, no, I didn't say something. I'm saying there's a fashion that's not as interested. Let me give you this. Julio Jones is definitely off that list. Oh, no, don't even, that whole different thing. I've been at these crazy people in Atlanta, like, you don't trade a Julio Jones. You just don't get rid of him. This is the one dude, Dan, that this is the one dude. Julio Jones is the one dude that when I go into my threshing floor, that's that secret place you go to God to talk about your real issues. And come on, God, this is what I talk to him about. You loved Julio that much more than me? You gave Julio that much more than me? I mean, what is that? It's Julio's the perfect gift, the most physically gifted receiver we've ever had. Now, Jerry Rice is the most accomplished, but Julio is the most physically gifted receiver we've ever had. Difference in that. So, in the Jerry Rice's. But what I'm talking about, Dan, is I watch the game now, I see guys in the game that are wide receivers that will, okay, we want to protect you. Okay, that's fine. But when I see guys that are wide receivers in a game and it's third and eight and you tapping your helmet to come out of a game, it's something inside of me that says, what the hell is that? How do you come out of the game on third down? Are you joking? Oh, first down, second, you know, third and eight. We are throwing the ball. This is why you came down the birth canal and came out and got born. And you're leaving the field now that it's time to catch a pass. This is what I'm saying. You're not in it. You are not in it because you love the game. You're in it because you love the lifestyle, and that loving the lifestyle allows you to tap your damn helmet on third down. Because if it was all up in your gut, ain't no way. You send somebody in to huddle to come get me on third and eight, man, you better get that. Listen, talking about Mike, coach said, get out of the game. Hey, you better get your ass out of this huddle. You ain't coach. I'll take this up with y'all when I get over there on that sideline. You see, that's what I'm talking about, buddy. I'm all right with being safe. I'm all right with being safe outside, but I want to see what you got inside.
I believe one of the best stories Michael has ever told around here over many years of telling great stories. And he reminded me of it when he said, all up in your gut. What was the offensive lineman on the Dallas Cowboys, the champion Dallas Cowboys, who didn't want any part of Jerome Brown? What was
oh,
that?
Yeah.
What are the details? You said that he came over to the with something in his stomach.
That was the truth, dog. That was the true story. I've never heard, you know. And you're right. And that was back in my time, but there was some dudes. That was just that bad, man. That was just that bad. And that's true. That was the truth.
Kevin Gogan? Was he the offensive?
Oh man, come on, man. I'm not calling it out.
I mean, Gogan was a mountain. I mean, Jesus.
All I heard him say was he hurt. He's hurt somewhere up in here. Like I all basically was saying, I ain't going up against Jerome Brown today. I'm out. I am out, man. But that Jerome's a bad man, man. Coach Axe would tell the story. Coach Axe, when he told the story, like when he was recruiting Jerome Brown, he said, man, when I recruited Jerome Brown, I went over to his house. And, you know, it was, you know, they lived in that little wherever up in Florida, that little area of Florida. He said his dad had a truck, a little car on the bricks in the garage he's working on. While they were talking, they leaned, and then the truck fell over off the bricks. He said he was waiting on his dad, Jerome Brown dad, to go get the jack the truck on up and put the bricks back on the. He all he did was say, hey, JB, come on out here, boy. he said, JB came out there. What up, Dad? Man, lift the truck up. Let me get them bricks back up, buddy. Lift up the truck. They put the bricks. He said he offered him a. He said, man, let me. We want to give you a scholarship right now. Hey, Axe used to tell that story. Oh, my God. I miss those things. I miss those stories. Man. That was fun stuff.
When you mention best receivers of all time are physically gifted guys, how do you rank Randy Moss, Jerry Rice, and Terrell Owens? Like, when you take those three, what's the order you put them in?
But Jerry Rice is first, period. Now, and I'm glad you precluded the question with my assessment of those other guys, because in this situation, that's applicable. When you're talking physically gifted and most accomplished, you know, so Jerry Rice is probably the least physically gifted out of those three guys you just talked about, the least physically gifted. I'm just talking about not physically gifted in a position of playing wide receiver. I'm talking about skill set. Probably doesn't run fast. He's probably the slowest out of those three. Probably the least vertical out of all those three. You see what I mean? But when Jerry Rice put it all together, he's a better receiver. He's the greatest of all time, most accomplished. He's a better receiver. But those guys you're talking about, T.O., Randy Moss, they were great receivers, and they were great. They were physically gifted with all the gifts.
Michael, I know all the focus is on the quarterback, but is it crazy when I say that Jerry Rice is the greatest football player of all time?
No, I'm with you on that. I've said that before, you know what I mean? Because, and you know, my opinion is from that position, I know what's required to play that position. That's why I always trip out when guys say, man, you know, offensive tackle, man, the hardest playoff. I said, please, man, your job, you're a fat 300-pounder. You got to stay. All you have to do is stay in front of another fat 300-pounder for 3 seconds. For 3 seconds. One fat 300, other fat 300, stay in front of them for 3 seconds. Mean. I got to go out here. I got to fight a dude to come off the line of scrimmage just to get into my route, go run a route, fake another dude out, go turn, catch a ball that's being projected down the field fast, flying somewhere between heaven and earth, snatch it out the air, mid-air, come down, put my foot on the ground, all while somebody trying to take my head off, and I don't get a cheer till I get in the end zone. I'm like, please, come on, man, let's be real. There's a difference between athletic ability in those situations, man. So you know, there's nothing like playing the position we play. Now, so Jerry Rice, all that he's done is insane. Now, quarterbacking is important, quarterbacks are important also. You know, that's a hell of a position. But I think for leadership, not just for throwing the ball around, but for leadership also.
Check out the Michael Irvin podcast wherever it is that you get your podcasts. I was surprised to hear you, Michael, who I once saw walk through a courtroom with, I believe, a mink and a fedora, call Aaron Rodgers a diva for the way that he is behaving. I remember when you said that you were playing to your constituency, the way that you walked through a courtroom. You are telling me you were one of the original divas at the position. That didn't mean you didn't work hard, but you almost made the mold of diva, did you not?
Well, I we have many definitions of diva. Give me your definition of diva. Let me give it that way. Let me do it that way. Since this your statement, or are you giving me the people's definition of diva? And let's break on this word diva a little bit.
Okay. Here. I would say that someone who is high maintenance, that you have to get the ball to, who might in a Super Bowl, when Alvin Harper is running down the field with his football, will chase him down the field screaming, "That's my touchdown. That ball is supposed to be mine," to your teammate.
Those are the traits, Michael.
Those are some of the traits you will find in a diva.
I see a diva, and see high maintenance is one thing. High demand is the word I would use, you know, in that position. Now it's a high demand. But when I go running up and down the sideline, cranking people up or demanding the ball, that is not to say give me something I hadn't earned. I'm saying give me an opportunity. Let's go win this game for us. Nobody outside of the guys that I was playing with will say that's me being a diva, because they know the work that I put in to make the statement I'm about to make right here, and they know. Time and time again, when I say let's do this, we've come out on the winning end. Y'all see all them damn trophies back there. Don't play.
Yes, I do see a lot of trophies.
National championship trophies. Receiver of the year trophies. Y'all see it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just, you know
what I'm saying?
So when I drop word out of the mouth, that word never hit the ground because I delivered upon what I was saying. So then you gain credibility. So you see it out there and saying, oh, is he being a diva? But they see it as saying, oh, let's get ready, because Mike has shifted into that we finna go win this game mode. And you're saying calling it a diva, and they're calling it, oh, man, he's lifting us up. He's going. This is how this thing goes. Now, we want to get to the Aaron Rodgers. And I did not call Aaron Rodgers a diva. This is what I said about Aaron Rodgers. And I gave y'all, I reached deep into my private stash to give you some of this. This is part of my private stash. I usually keep it over here, something I just kind of measure on my own, don't say that to nobody.
The good stuff.
I'm giving you some of my private stash.
Hold on, everybody back off. Hold on, I need to set this up correctly. In terms of opinions, Michael Irvin has a lot of opinions, but what he's telling us is he's going into where the humidors are, where the fine wine is, and he's going to get us some of his maximum opinion right now. Thank you, Michael. Right. I am thankful that you are sharing the good stuff with us.
Private stash. That's what this is. This is the good stuff.
I'm so jealous. I wish I had a private stash.
because this is why we look at things that go down before us in hopes that even the things that we're in, we can come out on a better end. Like I'll give an example. Like Green Bay is looking at what happened in Seattle and hoping that they can have that same end. Because Russell's fine in Seattle now, and everything's going great in Seattle now. So people look and say, oh, it worked out for them. Maybe it can work out for here. I'm just trying to help them see the difference. I know you want the same outcome, but you're not dealing with two of the same type of subjects. You know, that's the difference. Russ in Seattle, they haven't had a Russell Wilson ever before. They don't know how to move on from a Russell Wilson. And so Russ can get that power. Russ is a good man. Ultimately, he just wanted to get some control. So in the end, they can work that out. Green Bay, it's not their first. This is just their next. They kicked these people out before. Hey, come on, Brad, come on. You know, they've done this before. But here's my private stash.
Oh, boy.
I've always said, whenever I'm about to measure, should I engage with a person professionally or personally in any manner, there's one thing I must measure. I must know, what's your relationship with your mother? What's your relationship with your mother? If anybody ever tell me that the mother did something and they turned away from their mom and don't talk to their mom, that's for me. That's for me. I back out of it. Back out of it. Don't talk to their mom. I don't care what you say. There's nothing that should make you not talk to your mom. When your mom had to figure out what you wanted from a noise, you just said, wah. Oh, you hungry, baby? Here you go. Wah, wah. Oh, your diaper wet. Here you. She had to figure it out when you didn't make anything but a noise. And now you can talk and you won't talk to her. Oh, my God. If you're that type of person, if you can do that, I can't engage with you. And Aaron Rodgers, he cut off his mama. Don't you expect Aaron Rodgers to come back here being okay and it's all hunky-dory. It's going to cost you something because the man did cut off his mama. I hope they're still doing well. I hope they're back together and talking again. But for a moment, from what I understand, they were not talking. And that just says something. And any man that can cut off his mom, poo, that's scary.
That is the private stash.
Wow.
How do we get all the answers from the private stash? We have to go to the podcast to get all the private stash, right? We have to go to the Michael Irvin podcast, wherever you get your podcast. I want more from the private. What else is in there?
I only want the private stash.
What do I have to ask you to get more from the private stash?
I'm just saying, man. That's some real stuff, man.
You don't have to analyze the rest of sports. It's just if you don't get along with your mom, even though you're the greatest quarterback I've ever seen and MVP, I've got questions about your character.
No. What I'm saying, what Green Bay should have done was never let it get to this. Because once it's here, now he's great. You should have given him what he wanted then. Remember at the end of the year, they were talking about he wanted an extension. And they wanted a restructure. Both said no. Oh, okay. Now you've done all of that after you got the quarterback in. So you've gone to that place now that put you in that other category. And I'm telling you, when a dude can put a mom in that category, then it's hard to bring them back across the water.
Your Dallas Cowboys and your feud with Stephen A. Smith. It is mesmerizing to watch you guys butt heads there. But the Cowboys, Michael, they haven't been any good since you were there. Like, you defend this team with your heart, and I understand it, but they would have won several more championships if Jerry and Jimmy could have just gotten along.
I can't give any pushback on that last statement. I can't give any pushback on that last statement because I believe that wholeheartedly, that is to be the truth. And in my peace, in my old age, man, I'm like, you had a great career. That still gnawed at me right there because what we could have done if we had Jerry and Jimmy staying together, So that's reality. But you also said that they haven't been any good since I played. Now, that is not necessarily reality. They haven't been good enough to win a championship. But they've had some seasons where they've had good seasons. They haven't been good enough to piece it all together at one time to become dominant, but they've had moments and flashes, a great run game here, a great pass game there, defense playing well, but they haven't put it all together.
Michael, you're a champion. What have they won? A couple of playoff games since you left there? How many have they won? Like, I understand that you love the team, and I understand that it's a famous team, but their standard and your standard are different standards. If you're telling me that what you've gotten from the Cowboys the last three decades is any way satisfying to you.
I didn't make that statement either. I said nothing about any feeling of satiety on this side. I was just straightening out the difference in what you said. You know what I'm saying? I said nothing about I had some place of, oh, I have count myself to have apprehended that I'm at that place now. No, I didn't say anything. Or that I'm okay with where they are. I didn't say that. But I want to make clearly state the fact, because just like you, because of what the Dallas Cowboys bring, every time there's a description of the Cowboys, it gets deep, you know. And to make your point, y'all go places. Like, so in Stephen A's point, he'll be like, man, listen, let's go. Cowboys haven't won anything in the last 25 years. I said, okay. But there's some teams that ain't won nothing. And then you'll say, well, we ain't talking about now. We're talking about the last 25. I said, well, you can't track history and just call the last 25 years history. That's your story. We got to go into all of history. And all of history, there's 5 championships there. So you can't be selective once you open the door. I know this because they taught me this in the courtroom. Once you bring it up, anybody can use it. So I'm just telling you, I got it from the courtroom. That's all I'm saying.
So good, man.
Can you tell us who it is in this sport right now who most reminds you of you? Because I do think it gets forgotten, Michael, that where it came to you and Dion, you're talking about two of the hardest working human beings the sport has ever seen. That you're somebody that Jason Garrett would talk about finding at the facility at 7 o'clock at night, 100 degrees, wearing the weighted chest weights and doing everything else after you had already arrived at the top. So when you look at somebody in the league now and you say, that guy is most like me, you look at whom, just in terms of a football player, a receiver at the position that you admire and respect?
And that, there's so many different aspects of that. I can talk, are you talking internal with heart? Are you talking the ability to lead, or physical comparisons on the football field and physical styles of play? But if I wanted to combine as many of those things that I just brought up and tell you who I think most remind me, really, honestly, I've said this, is this kid Allen Robinson, receiver, Chicago Bears. Allen Robinson's a bad dude. Didn't have a Troy Aikman or anybody like that he can blow his, take his career and go on and do some things in the NFL like he has the ability to do. You know, you'll see, I don't know how quick Justin Fields can come around and he can start working and getting something and building something there. But this dude's a dog. I mean, fights hard, plays hard, goes hard, everything. And, you know, he was a free agent this last year, so I had a lot of teams would call me and ask me about him. And I was like, man, you can get Allen Robinson. You do whatever you got to do to get Allen Robinson because he'll make any team. He'll make any team better. He has that whatever. He's going to bring it every day in practice. Like you talked about, Dion and I would go, man, I'm going to – let me tell you. I had practices against Dion. Man, I was thinking about this the other day at my workout. It was some great practice. The mental thing that went on in a practice between he and I think about sometimes, it just laughed, you know, because it wasn't all just physical. You had to outthink the next man, and he was a thinker. So those were great battles, great physical and mental battles.
Michael, thank you for being on with us. We always enjoy the time, sir.
Absolutely, man. I miss being on with you guys, man.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.